Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Wednesday, May 30th, 2018. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're in the chapter How It Works on page 65. We're reading the first paragraph all the way through the second paragraph and table, beginning with On Our Grudge List and ending with Pride, Sex, Relation, Security, and Fear. Today's readers are Sheila B. for the 12 Steps, Valerie B. for the Traditions, Christine M., Marie J. Thank you. The reference number for the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting yesterday for Tuesday, May 29th is 11471, 11,471. And the reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Wednesday, May 30th is 11475. That's 11,475. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Sheila B. to please read the 12 steps. Star 1 to unmute, please, Sheila.
Good morning. This is Sheila B. from New Hampshire. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. All pass.
Thank you very much, Sheila B. And I will now ask Valerie B. to please read the 12 traditions.
Hello. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Valerie B. from Maryland. Thank you for letting me serve. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating. 4, or eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility, outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never to be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality.
Thank you very much, Valerie B. Appreciate it. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 65, reading the first and second paragraph, including the table. I will ask Christine M. to please begin reading.
Yes, hello everyone. My name is Christine M. I'm a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater from Missouri. On our grudge list, we set opposite each name our injuries. Was it our self-esteem, our security, our ambitions, our personal or sex relations, which had been interfered with? We were usually as definite as this example. I'm resentful at Mr. Brown. And the cause is his attention to my wife, told my wife of my mistress, Brown may get job at the office. And it affects sex relations, self-esteem, fear. Sex relations, self-esteem, fear, security, self-esteem, fear. And then Mrs. Jones, she's a nut. She snubbed me. She committed her husband for drinking. He's my friend. She's a gossip. Personal relationships, self-esteem, fear. My employer, unreasonable, unjust, overbearing, threatens to fire me from drinking and padding my expense account. Self-esteem, fear, security is what it affects. And then I'm resentful at my wife, the cause. Misunderstands and nags, likes Brown, wants house put in her name. It affects the pride, personal, sex relations, security, and fear. And so this is the first part, the first section of the four steps. And, you know, for me, I know my whole life I had just these boulders blocking me off from me and God, blocking me off from God. And it was blocking me off from God, but also blocking me off from in any human being, any relationship. And so, you know, I had to get these down on paper. And the resentment is the number one offender you know, it destroys more, you know, alcoholics than anything, you know. And me as a compulsive overeater, I cannot afford to sit in a resentment. I cannot afford to hold on to resentment or harbor resentment. You know, and so I put the name or the person or the institution of who I'm resentful at, you know, and then the cause. And for me, I was taught in the cause that I keep it very brief, because if I get stuck in, you know, what someone did to me or how I think I was wronged, that's pretty much where I've been my whole life, and I can sink in the quicksand of that. So I was told to keep that very brief, and then what it affects, and it talks about, you know, it talks about the security, the ambitions, the personal and sex relations, and talk about which had been interfered with, you know, and it affects, you know, my security is threatened, and I'm fearful, you know, and fear is the chief activator of all my defects. So, you know, it affects me somehow, you know, sexually, my self-esteem, fear. Security, you know, financial security, emotional security, pride, all these things that block me off from the sunlight of the spirit. And so I'm getting these down on paper, and I'm taking a look, you know, and then the last column, which is not on here, is that, you know, where am I selfish, dishonest, you know, afraid, self-seeking. So I can see, you know, my wrongs, the exact nature of my wrongs. So this step just completely changed my life, you know, getting it down on paper, seeing the truth on paper, to where it's not in my head and I can't justify and rationalize. It was crucial, and still is crucial today, 4 through 9, to get me unblocked, and I have to diligently work step 10 to stay unblocked, and I'm so grateful for this program. And, you know, step 4 was the beginning of me taking responsibility for my life, and so I'm just truly grateful to be here and grateful for these steps. Without these steps, I would just be lost, or I would probably be dead. So I'm just eternally grateful for Overeaters Anonymous in this big book and the clear cut directions in it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Christine M. Who would like to comment on what Christine read?
Kelly T.
Kelly T.
Melanie C.
Melanie C.
Kristen R.
Kristen R.
Ellen
okay.
M.
Was that Ellen M?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, we'll start with this. Kelly T, Melanie C, Christine R, and Ellen M. Please go ahead, Kelly. Melanie will be next.
Hello, good morning, everyone. My name is Kelly T from New York City. Thank you so much for doing service, and it's amazing. I call in today, and it's on the fourth step. Yesterday is a good example how much the steps work when you do it thoroughly. A lot of things have happened, and like fraud with my debit card, my friend losing a father, and my mom going to have surgery on Friday. It's like everything happening at once yesterday. And I just turned to doing those fourth step. Like I call fellows, I reach out, I connected with program because I knew that if I don't turn over the fear, the resentments, I will go back to the food. And today food is not an option. So instead of relying on my will and holding on to the grudges, I let go and calmly I call my bank and cancel my card, and calmly I call and took care of myself by reaching out to fellows and doing the best I could to stay abstinent, to stay focused, and to be of service. And I'm just so grateful for that, the gift that I received from my higher power, because I've done the work and I continue to do the work, the steps. And because I remember in the past when I tried working the fourth step, it didn't work for me because I was still in the food. Of course I was going to eat more. I was an abstinent. And it's the worst thing to do is to work step four if somebody's not abstinent, because how can you really do the steps when you're dealing with really emotional matters? And for today, I'm just grateful where I'm at today and the way I am, the promises are coming true, and one day at a time. I'm taking it one breath at a time, one day at a time, and doing my 10 steps every day. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Kelly T. Melanie C., you're up next, followed by Christine R.
Thank you, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Oregon, and I was burned up. Oh, I was burned up, and I love the word grudge. I just had ill will, just persistent ill will across the board. At least that's what I could think of, and so this was that opportunity. Now, I didn't have all my thoughts together, and I didn't, not only were they not together, they somehow were just jumbled up in a mess, and so I got a lot of support in trying to figure these things out, and the cause, it took an act of discipline to keep it down to just a few thoughts because I wanted to just kind of unload there. But it was a great, great practice and discipline and keeping it just to the basic pieces. And I learned in my fifth step, I was able to expand upon those just a little bit more. And I was grateful for that. The third column that I like especially, these are parts of self. The parts of self that I was given to me as I was given, you know, parts of self, we call those instincts. How is it affecting it? And I like to use the word threatening me, because as soon as I'm threatened, then the ego gets involved and it expands, and I want to see what's happening here. I want to take a look at, eventually, when I get down the road, what parts of self that might have been normal and natural in one place at one time when I was created, I had distorted through the practice of self-centeredness. And I'm just learning about these things, so I'm not real clear about it, but it's a real important column. And when I write these things down, then I'm going to see exactly where I was trying to protect myself. Something had gone awry over the top of what was a normal natural instinct, and I needed to defend myself. And when I need to defend myself, the walls come up, the heart gets hardened, and this layer over layer over layer over layer over the course of decades for me in my case, I became just blank to anything that I had done or my part in this sort of situation. And what I had used at one particular time, maybe years back, has turned into something completely different. And this is the process of being able to unearth those things. And when those things are lifted off, then as time goes on, God can come in and transform me. But it's an important column. It is, I call it my turn column. It's the place in which I finally am able to go from what I wanted to just really expand on with all my wordiness in column two, which the cause, really was able to turn that away from those things and onto, look what happened. Look what I did. See how I needed to do something that wasn't even there. This is where I'm going to find out where I got delusional. And had gone towards insanity, because I was no longer perceiving reality and I was not reasoning with any sense of effectiveness whatsoever. This is a beautifully important column. And as soon as I'm turned, then I can go back. I can look to the other side to see where it is that I need and why I need God. So don't short shrift yourself on that one, and take a look at the fact that these are natural instincts. I mean, this is my take on it anyway. Natural instincts that became threatened and they went toxic on me. Rogue. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Melanie C. Christine R., you're up next, followed by Ellen M.
Oh, thank you for your service. And to everyone who helped make this meeting possible. Good morning. My name is Kristen R. in Virginia, and I am a compulsive overeater. This fourth step, the first time I did it, I thought it was going to be one and done. I thought I was going to write out an inventory that was going to beat all inventories ever, and I would never have to go back and do another one. Fortunately, I was wrong, because the truth is I've done several four steps now, and I've been in program for 4 years, and every time I do one, I just peel back another layer of the onion and I get more and more freedom. My 82-year-old mother came and lived with me for the last month, and I thought I was resentment-free from her. I thought she was 300 miles away, and I called her, and we were fine. Well, then she moved in with me, and my Lord, were those resentments not only there. And these were not new resentments. These were resentments that just got triggered while she was here, and I had to be honest and say, this isn't new. I've been walking around like this for the last year. And if I don't stop and clean this up, the only person that's going to suffer because of it is not my mom, but me. Because the truth is, when I have a resentment, it means I'm trying to take poison to help you die. It's absolutely the most devastating thing to our soul are these resentments, because they literally eat us from the outside. When I first did my four step, I looked at this and I said, oh, I don't have, what is this business about ambitions? What an old fashioned word. I don't even know what that's about. What, career ambitions? And then I don't have any resentments towards my kids. Well, guess what? I absolutely had resentments towards my 4-year-old and my 6-year-old, because they affected my ambition to do whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted. And so I really see this third column as a way to uncover some causes, because sometimes we think that we are the most loving, the most kind, the most compassionate. And there are times when we are those qualities, we are those people. But the truth is that we're all human. And so if I can look at and say, you know, this person does affect this aspect of myself, why? And then I can quickly write it out and I get a little more freedom. And then when I turn it over in step 5, then I get more freedom. And then when I ask God to remove the character defects in 6, more freedom. And then, I become willing in 6 and ask in 7, more freedom. I mean, it's never one and done. And thank God, because the freedom that we get to experience through recovery is infinite. It just keeps growing and growing. So thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you very much, Kristen R. Ellen M., please go ahead. Star 1 to unmute, please, Ellen.
Hi there. Hi there. This is Ellen, Ellen M. in Silicon Valley, and a grateful recovering compulsive overeater. There's lots of jewels in this, but for me, the directive that in dealing with resentments, we set them on paper is a really great sentence, because I like to just think that, oh, I can think this through. But the fact that it has to be made manifest on the paper is a direction to me that is so explicit that I can't, get around it. So I love that, and because I can see these things more clearly when I actually write them down. And I've had my tussles with this, but never in the first three columns, not so much in the first three columns. But one thing that was very helpful was that I was told that the second column should not be a story. When I first did one of these, I wanted to write a paragraph about whatever the incident was. And when I write out a paragraph, I'm usually putting my spin on it. So by being as brief as possible in the cause column, I can take out all of that, stuff I've embellished and is maybe so ingrained in my mind over the years. And then in the fifth step, I can work with someone who's, that can stop me if I start to go into a spin. And then finally, the third column affects my, I have found this kind of an inscrutable column, because it doesn't necessarily always mean anything to me. So I've also taken to, in writing down the instinct that's affected, a one sentence quick to the nub of what is the wound, and maybe no more than two or three, four words, you know, of what is it that's really about that instinct that's really getting at me. But that's all I have to say. You know, I appreciate this meeting and thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Ellen M. So we are in How It Works. We're on page 65. We read the first paragraph starting with On Our Grudge List, and we read all the way through the table down to pride, personal, sex, relations, security, and fear. Who would like to comment on that reading?
Charles H.
Ginger C.
Ginger C. and Craig B.
Eileen
M. Okay.
Kathleen O.
Anybody else?
Liz T.
Sherry KB.
Liz T. and Sherry KB. What a great lineup. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate the share so far, and looking forward to some great ones coming. We'll start with Charles H. and followed by Ginger C.
Thank you, Elaine, for your service. I still got that thing you gave me in Newark. It's a jewel. Thank you, my dear. Charles H., a recovered compulsive overeater. And I got to say, the trophy of the share of the year has gone to Esther C. I heard this morning, that instincts are not character defects. However, like I've heard in the room that this the slogans are the banister to the steps. I think instincts are the banister to my character defects. So it's just amazing to me that Bill W. took 20 minutes to write this whole chapter, How It Works, and people take years to write their fourth step. You know, so on the second hour, there was somebody that said they came against, and it's okay, interpretations are interpretations. They came against this saying, working these steps like our hair is on fire. There's several places that we read, you know, 63, the bottom of 63, next, launched out, promptly. These are words that, you know, say that I got to do this real quick, because the 19 words in column two is, we don't want to hear about your personal emotions. What happened? Let's get down to causes and conditions. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, it's uncomfortable. That's why we got to do it quick. That's why Bill W. said launched and rocketed. And even to get to the fourth dimension, you got to get rocketed. I can't stay in poo-poo like I heard somebody. You say that all the time, Elaine. I can't stay in poo-poo. I got to change my diaper. I'm a baby every single day. But I got to do this quick, and I got to work these steps like my hair is on fire, because guess what? It is on fire. And once my hair get on fire, like my whole body will disintegrate, because I don't got a lot of hair. So it'll get down to my head. It's in my head, and it'll just burn me up. So I just love that, and I had to chime in, and thank you for allowing me to share. Peace out.
Thanks so much, Charles H. Ginger C., you're up next, followed by Craig B.
Hi, good morning, Elaine. Thanks for your continued service. Ginger C., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And I just love this word, interfered, because this is what's really going on with this third column of this fourth step, and it's really vital work. It says to interfere, to prevent a process or activity from continuing or being carried out properly. See, don't you know, I am selfish, I'm self-centered, and my buttons are being pushed in this third column. And God blindsides me. I have no idea really what's going on. But this is the three F's that happen. We fight, we flee, which I do really well. I love to run. Or I freeze. But I am all about protecting myself at this point, because something is not feeling good, and I am all about Ginger and taking care of me at all costs. So I'm so grateful for this AA guy that really digs deep in three. He's like, if you really want to do your work, you dig deep in this column. And a lot of the times we have our sheets and we just check the boxes. but he has specific questions regarding each box about your ambitions, your personal relations, your sex relations, your self-esteem. And you get to write this out. Because more that I see, the more I get clear, the more I can understand, and then hopefully not show up and cause more harm in this world. Because that's what we're really trying to do, is to be in alignment and to stop rolling through the way we've been. So I'm so grateful, and I am just a baby in this too, learning this process, but boy, has my life changed. And even with self-esteem, I didn't realize it could be high or low. And don't you know, when my high self-esteem is being affected, that is when I am all about, you know, I'm going to show you. Don't you know who I am? I'm Ginger C. I mean, it's crazy. But again, thank God we have this work, these clear-cut directions, and I just get to do it a day at a time and keep practicing. Because again, this ego is so big. It's all about edging God out, and it works in silent and sneaky ways. Again, I don't even realize my buttons are being pushed. I just feel this reaction, this protection of Ginger. And then I see the fourth column of where I'm pushed to Sana, trying to, you know, I'm afraid and trying to make a workout for me in the end. Really great another day. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Ginger C. Craig B., you're up next, followed by Eileen M. I thought I heard Craig B. Maybe it's Greg B. Or maybe I was dreaming. Okay, well, Eileen M.
I got muted. Sorry. This is Greg.
Oh, here we are. Thank you. Excellent.
Yes,
okay,
Craig
Greg.
B.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. You can call me Craig, Greg, whatever. Hey, recovered compulsive overeater, et cetera, et cetera, in San Jose. Hey, so good to be here. Good to be with my friends. I don't know if I can follow Charles, but I think my hair must have been on fire or something. I wish I could say that's why my hair is gone, but it's probably not. I am so glad to be here. And to me, it's all about the fourth column. It ain't about what people did. It ain't about my fears and all this other stuff. It ain't about, you know, for one thing, this step is the easiest step to work because it's all about me, 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 me. So people that are struggling with this step, hey, this is a chance for you to stand on the pedestal and talk about yourself. One of my favorite subjects. So that from that sense, it should be an easy step to work. Unfortunately, people get twisted up on all the stuff that happened to them and what people did. It's about what I did. It ain't about what they did. Fourth step is about the fourth column. You know, not there ain't my part and then everything else. There's what I did and my part, what I did in my head, what I thought, and, you know, why are my thoughts and my actions screwing up my life? Not what everybody else did to me that's screwing up my life. I did it. I'm the common thread. I'm the one who lost the jobs. I'm the one who lost friends. I'm the one who torched relationships with a cannon, with a rocket launcher. You know, I'm the one. Me. I'm the cause. And there's only one way out, and that's a power greater than myself, and that ain't Greg. So, you know, I just love this step because just get down to it. I wish I could say I always worked it quickly. But it's, you know, if you want to do it cleanly and feel good about it, you work it quickly. I've done it all the wrong ways, but the important thing is do it. Don't think about it. Don't write it down on paper and then analyze it and then, you know, perfect it. Like I heard somebody say one time, there ain't going to be a plaque up on the wall with a perfect fourth step. You know, just get it done. Get to it. Get it done. And then sometimes you might have to revisit some stuff, you know, 10, 11, 12, or maybe even another 4, 5, 6. Doesn't matter. Stop analyzing, start doing. That's the biggest problem in my life, is I talk about a lot of stuff and do very little. So today I got a bunch of actions to take, and one of them is being in this meeting, sharing, and listening to others. So love outreach calls. This is Greg B., California. Thank you all. Good to be walking along the shoulders of such great recovery. Pass.
Thank you, Greg B. And Eileen M., you're up next, followed by Kathleen O.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., recovered gratefully in New Hampshire. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Oh, great. Thank you. Yeah, I love this. This is a great discussion. And, you know, I can't even think of a greater word than burned up. That is just so well chosen, because that's exactly what it feels like when I have a resentment. And, you know, it's amazing how that feeling of resentment is really, it's described as a passion in this book. And it really is, because it's just unrelenting. I just can't put it down. You know, it was like with the food, I could not put it down. It would just keep coming back into my mind and just keep, you know, it went around and around like a hamster wheel. And, you know, I first did this process, four step, the way it is in the big book, on a retreat in 1990. I was new in OA and I went on this 12 step retreat, and it was given by a guy who was a recovered alcoholic and also a food addict. And he, you know, he had this whiteboard and he was writing down this example in the big book, you know, I'm resentful at Mr. Brown, et cetera, you know, teaching us how to do this. And at that time, you know, there was no fourth column and we just got to the third column. And, you know, with that, you know, I wrote this very long inventory and, you know, but since there was no fourth column, I wasn't seeing my patterns or my part in all of these choices that I'd made. And, you know, because of that, there was really nothing for me to bring to step 6 and 7. So I never really did step 6 and 7 because, you know, I saw myself as a victim, that all these things had happened to me and, you know, poor me kind of thing. And I remember at that time, you know, we were encouraged to, you know, go to that page in the Freedom from Bondage chapter and, you know, read the resentment prayer and kind of say that for every person on our list. And that's kind of what I did. And in the later years, I did the four step, the way it is in the OA 12 and 12. And, you know, while that has very good questions, it wasn't as effective as this, you know, for longer term recovery. So I'm just so grateful to everyone, you know, whoever, you know, or the group of people that developed the fourth column, because, you know, that's what I can, when I see those things, that's something that, you know, I realize that's what I can do. That's where I can do something about my behavior. You know, and what was said yesterday, I just love, is that this inventory is a fact-finding process. You know, it's not something to beat ourselves up with. We're just looking at what's no longer useful. You know, what are the goods that are no longer working for us? And, you know, when I first did this 2 years ago, and I just got, you know, got into vision, I could not wait to do this step. I just couldn't wait to try to look at what was not working in my life. And I just recently had two sponsees who said to me, I can't wait until we get to step 4. And I thought that's such a good sign. You know, it's just, you know, nobody said, oh, I'm so fearful of it, I don't want to do it. You know, it was just really, I don't know, it just really gave me a lot of hope. So with that, I pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Eileen M. Kathleen O, you're up next, followed by Liz T.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Elaine. This is Kathleen O in California, recovered in California. So step 4, my first real action step. This is where I really felt like, okay, I need to do something. And doing a fearless and thorough inventory of my life really was key to beginning this action step. And the first time I did this step, honestly, I was not very fearless and thorough. And this step is about rigorous honesty with myself and my higher power. And I had to focus on my insecurities and fears, and this wasn't easy. But I realized, like many things in my life that are difficult, when I power through them, the payoff is great. You know, I didn't want to be over 200 pounds again. I was tired of suffering and being miserable. And I was great at justifying my wrongs and blaming others for my problems. So this step allowed me to take responsibility for my resentments and fears. And the time, there was a time, I think I did this, it was like the third time before I actually was really fearless and thorough. And that was when I did see the sunlight of the spirit. It was like, the promises we get about, you know, no longer we're not no longer fighting the food, we're no longer fighting anyone or anything, really did happen when I really powered through and took this step.
And, you know, the bottom line was I needed to identify what was keeping me in that bondage and keeping me from the sunlight of the spirit. So, you know, this step can feel really overwhelming. And anyone who feels that way, you're not alone. And, you know, I heard that term, peeling of a layer of the onion. And, of course, I took it to mean I didn't need to do it very thorough because I could keep doing it over and over and maybe getting a little more thorough. And that's not what that means, but that's how I made it mean so I could justify how I was doing it, which wasn't very thorough. So, you know, the person who took me through it, with entire absence, I was able to identify the thoughts, the emotions, the actions that were really wreaking havoc on all my relationships. So this isn't a step to be feared, even though it can be a little scary. In step three, I turned my life and my will over to the higher power, and I was able, because I did that, to walk through this step with my higher power. So today I can be governed by the principles and not my emotions. I still need to put my resentments and fears on paper. And it's so healing to put my grudges on paper. It's so healing, and to see my part and do what I need to do and be done with them and move on and be useful in life. So, you know, this step is seeing things as they truly are rather than looking through, rather than, you know, thinking them with an addicted mind, night and day. So thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Kathleen O. Liz T., you're up next, followed by Sherry KB.
Good morning. This is Liz T. in Minnesota, a recovered compulsive overeater. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, just fine. Thank you.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you for everyone for your service. And I give thanks to my higher power for the gift of entire abstinence this morning. I was reflecting on this step a little bit, and it reminded me of a visual I saw recently on a recovery Facebook page about, you know, the keystone of step three, or step three being considered the keystone, making that decision to walk through that triumphant arch through which we pass to freedom. And I think of step four as like that first action step after my decision to continue through the rest of the steps, and I need courage as a principle for step four. I need courage to put this down on paper and look at it in black and white. I think in my disease, I like to stay in vagueness. I like to stay in obsessive thinking. I like to ruminate. And when I have to put things down on paper, like when I need to put my red light foods down on paper and share that with the sponsor, it creates a boundary. I can't keep obsessing and changing the rules, you know, like I'm either abstinent or I'm not. It's black or white. And with my resentments also, I start to see my part in it in that fourth column. And I liked how we talked this morning about the instincts, you know, what once were maybe healthy instincts, for some reason they got out of whack with me. And I took things to the extreme. And I like in the 12 and 12, the AA 12 and 12, where it talks about these instincts and goes in a little bit more detail than just the check boxes. And I start to see how I either leaned too heavily on people, I was dominating and too dependent. On 53, page 53 in the AA 12, it talks about this. And sooner or later, people fail us, and then I'm upset and disappointed. And the more and more I lean into my higher power and lean into step two and three, I begin to form a relationship with my higher power, and that relationship gets stronger through the remaining steps. So I think for me, it was trusting the process that I don't really have that relationship with a higher power solidified yet, and I may never. It will always be evolving and new and fresh, but just to trust the process and trust my guide taking me through and the people that have walked before me. So for anyone new or struggling out there, you know, getting things down in black and white is actually a beautiful process. It takes some of the guesswork out of our disease and the loopholes that my disease liked me to try, and gets things down in black and white. And with that, I can keep trudging through that arch of freedom towards a spiritual awakening. It's a beautiful gift if we keep trudging. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Liz T. Sherry KB, you're up next.
Good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for your service, Elaine, and everybody on the line, and welcome newcomers. And, you know, I'm just going to stick with what we're reading today. I'm not going to go into the invisible column that we're going to talk about tomorrow. So I'm just going to stick with what we're reading here. What I do know is that when I went through this book, I realized the reason why I read all these other pages before I got to page 65 was it was preparing me to want to do this fourth step. Reading the doctor's opinion, you know, Bill's story, there is a solution, more about alcoholism, and then how it works, because it was preparing me to want to do this. It was opening me up. It was helping me to start getting unblocked. And this is where I start getting majorly unblocked. And that, the you know, it's asking me to look at my grudges. And when we look at these columns, there's three columns. They're not four yet. We're only talking about three columns here. And it's asking me what I'm resentful at and what was the cause and how did it affect me. And what I do know is when I started doing the work, I wrote something in big letters across when I was sitting at a table, how free do you want to be, Sherry? That's what I kept at. And then fact-finding, fact-facing. And I used to watch reruns of this show that came out long before I was could really watch it. When I was a kid, but I saw these reruns by Dragnet. It was called Dragnet, and this guy named Sergeant Friday would come to the door and he'd go, "This is Sergeant Friday, just the facts, ma'am, just the facts." So that's what I wrote out, Sherry, just the facts, just the facts. And so if you notice in column one, Mr. Brown is 19, you know, words, the whole thing. Mrs. Jones is 18, my employer is 14, and my wife is 11. So I was told to keep it very brief, like two sentences or less under the cause. And, you know, what I did is at one point I just wrote a date down. And today I could tell you about that date, but there's no emotional charge around that date. And that's what's amazing to me is how free I got from it all. And the bottom line is that I kept asking my higher power in. And doing this in prayer made the biggest difference. And on page 181, the last sentence, it says, "Your Heavenly Father will never let you down." And that's what I kept reminding myself of every time I was doing this work. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sherry KB. We have time for 1 2-minute share. Who has a burning desire?
Courtney B.
Roz G.
Courtney B, I heard you first.
Okay,
so please
take
us out. Thanks.
Courtney B from Northern California. The thing for me about this fourth step, it was a beginning of understanding what happened, and understanding my history and family pathology. You know, Bill in the 12 by 12 says, we've got to go back to events that caused our emotions violent twists for the worst. And as I began to do this, you know, those memories would come back of my mom saying, "Don't you have a big ego for a girl? Well, we wanted a boy, but you showed up." What I learned was don't talk, don't trust, don't feel. And my sister would say, "You're always angry." Well, yeah, because anger was safer to feel than grief and loss. And this inventory for me, that those instincts, it got me from my head to my heart. My head could write out a bunch of crap about who said what and blah, blah, blah. But when I felt in my heart, it was grief, it was hurt. Those were the instincts being threatened, and it was able to say, oh, yeah, adults can treat kids that are just wrong. And my self-defense mechanisms, I was dead from the neck down, I am telling you. I lived in my head, and I hoped I didn't feel. When my dad died, my mom said, "Don't worry about me, I'm not going to cry." And I'm like, oh, my God, that's it. Thank you, God, today. I talk, I trust, and I feel. That, for me, is this whole movement towards healing and wholeness. Deconstruct the crap that I got. Rebuild a heart made whole. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Courtney B. And we have just a tiny bit more time, so I'm just going to make a quick comment or two. One of the things that I love about, you know, I knew who I was resentful at. I did carry it around, and I brought it out, and I shared it with whoever would listen for as long as they would listen. And I knew all about those causes. I had them well rehearsed. Every time I pulled them out and I reshared them, I re-injured myself, and I had another reason to run to the food. But I never looked at how it affected, what it affected my personal instincts for survival, for thriving in life. And when I saw that it affected, it validated that, yeah, I was hurt, perceived or real. I was harmed. This caused me harm. And it helped me just to say, oh, no wonder. I really have been hurt. But then we move on from there. And so I just want to thank everybody so much for your shares and this awesome meeting. We're going to transition now and to reading the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Marie J. please read a vision for you?
Yes, thanks. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
This is Marie J., recovered in Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.